Blog Talk Radio.
It is Sunday, December 25th, 2016, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in America. I'm Grant and Taylor Hughes for my show, The Grant and Taylor Hughes Show. My guest host each week is Gabriella Foster, but she's on vacation for a few weeks. And I'll be flying solo tonight, so I hope that the plane doesn't somehow crash into the building. So I can still tell the jokes, even in soliloquy. Each week I try to cover a more serious topic, albeit, is the idea of the international bankruptcy, which a lot of you will probably flee from the listening audience when you hear these somewhat boring topic, perhaps. But I think I try to make it interesting from the standpoint that we fit it into the structure of society wherein we can get a better viewpoint of how it fits. In other words, I've shown on the shows in the past, we've had about 400 shows in the past several years. We'll be doing the show almost, I think, 8 years in March. And we've explained how the money is the best evidence, where I've talked about how if you take a dollar bill out of your pocket, you'll see that the banner at the top shows a Federal Reserve note in terms of dollar. Internationally, we know that the money, the dollar bill, is actually the pegged money for international bank trading. And that sounds somewhat complex, but to know that as a fact is very important, because we need to know the truth in these matters, whereas most of the time we don't get that truth in our daily lives, although we use money as compelled benefit, and we use it as a normal practice, and we don't really question it because people are too busy to stop and consider that practice. In other words, excuse me, when I talk about compelled benefit, we need to, that's a practice that we need to use all the time. In other words, we're not going to stop and say, okay, before I pay the merchant for a loaf of bread, I want to know what's on that dollar bill. In other words, in comparative advantage in economics, we're in a bum's rush. Excuse me. We're rushing through the day, and we're attempting to put in social practice our daily living. So we're not going to stop and analyze things. And I apologize. I'm not really a disc jockey, and I ate a meal before. I shouldn't eat, but it's a timing thing. I got to eat sometimes. So my throat's not so clear. And I apologize. Anyway, and so I'm not perfect. Let's put it that way, in terms of voice resonance and all that business. But what I try to do each week is give out the truth in terms of information I think is quite faulty that we show in our daily lives. We're not really getting the truth out of our parents, teachers, neighbors, and whatnot. Anybody that we talk to is usually inundated with some sort of propaganda. So we need to unearth that and get to the core truth in the matters in our daily life. And I attempt to do that each week. And I think I do. I have a pretty good following internationally. And I'm not, in one sense of the word, I'm not trying to get a following. I'm just trying to get people to look on what I consider to be the truth in the matter and to try to put it in practice and teach other people, because we're not really getting it in our schools and universities and what have you. And a lot of my mentors would have agreed in the past because of the fact that we're missing a lot of elements, because we are in this bum's rush of a labor camp, and really the attitude is not to learn anything. It's just to get people out of school and into the workforce. And I don't think we really want to do it, but we're sort of stuck with it traditionally. I don't think people really, like I said, don't want to do it. But we're stuck. It's kind of a leverage situation where you're sort of painted into a corner and you don't really know how to get out of the corner. And I always say, if you paint yourself in the corner, if the paint's still wet, you're just going to get paint on the bottom of your shoes when you walk out. That's supposed to be funny. Anyway, so having said that, we need to discuss things and converse about these things when we find out that really it's not really sinistral, but it's just mistakes are being made. And because we're in a world where we need to go to work and make our way and the wherewithal, we don't really know magical secrets like I try to teach in terms of a book that we've discovered over the years. It was written in 1910 by Wallace Wattles, The Science of Getting Rich, wherein he talked in chapter 14 about the idea of thinking about increase in the mindset and also having a vision. There's two things. If you don't have a vision and you don't have a mantra, then you pretty much are in the ozone, in a realm of nothingness, or stuck in that labor force of the how to make a living or make wherewithal. All right, having said all that, the idea that life really is kind of magical if we learn how to bring things to us. And now that message people would rather hear about than the doom and gloom of a bankruptcy and what have you. But I get to that. We want to be thorough about what is in the marketplace and what are the potentialities of the individual, what he can use to better himself and in that capability. In other words, I'm not saying to trash everything and dump what we have. Quite the contrary. My attitude is work with what we have the best way we can in a conference mode, if you will, a discussion mode, to discuss these things, to do the level best that we can to proceed in society. And that's my true, sincere attitude, because I don't do things for money here. I don't charge people for money. I don't give lectures for money, and I give lectures in the marketplace and give talks and around the community and what have you, and I don't charge for those things. You see what I mean? So the point is, I'm not out here to try to market something and sell you something. I'm out here to try. My motivation is to try to give the truth about what is around us, what we can do to better ourselves, and what we can do to sustain society. For instance, Prince Charles of England has a group called Sustained Development, and their attitude is the same way. And in terms of trying to get to the truth in the matter of our society, and not get into this battling the courts and battling the officials and the authority and all that stuff, because my slogan is to work with and not against. So we really need to do that. We really have to have a proper attitude to work with each other in terms of communication. And I think there's a potential to do that instead of the patronization of, okay, Grantham's going to talk about some stuff and we'll pat him on the head and then he'll walk away and what have you, and we won't have to worry about it. No, when I say something and it's the truth, it's going to stick with people and it plants a seed and it grows. And people, because people want answers. They don't want to sit around and be placated all the time like we have been for a long, long time. And that becomes the issue of not getting to the logic in the matter. In other words, like the Vulcans in Star Trek, they seek logic, and then it's always amazing how they get into the emotional side of their lives all throughout the episodes. I always think that's very ironic because we know as human beings we have our emotions, and we need to deal with that. At the same time, what is the structure of the cosmos? What's the structure of our government, our structure of society? And these things need to be discussed. And presently, since we're in a bankruptcy since 1930, that needs to be discussed on how to get out of the bankruptcy, all right? And then what we've discovered in my UK group we have on Sunday mornings, we didn't do it, we had 2 weeks off for the holidays. What we discovered was it probably will be impossible to gain solvency, and that's one of my planks, is to gain banking equilibrium. But I don't think it's really possible until the banking industry would allow for, we would call it a mathematics, so approximate mathematics was the answer. And in other words, you go over a few pennies and not have to get perfect banking equilibrium. And people say, well, that means that there's no, their accounts aren't balanced. Well, but if you understand, which I've tried to explain over the years, that mathematics is not a precise science. It is individually, and individually you can add 1 + 1 = 2, But if you get 100,000 people in there, there's going to be a different answer. There really will. I mean, it's really strange how miraculously math is not precise, even on paper. And that's the interesting thing is the physicists know that. And I don't really know the answer why necessarily, other than the fact that when you get a large amount of numbers, a quantitative issue, then you get changes. You know, there's a factor of uncertainty that takes place. Those are theories and uncertainty that a lot of physicists get to. So we're in an uncertain world, even mathematically. I mean, they claim that mathematics is precise, but it really is not. I mean, that's the sad part about it. That's why we're in a constant solvency and insolvency or bankruptcy, and they have them in cycles of 70 years. But I go back to the 1930 Geneva Convention because we still have money as a result of that. Our money that we use is a result of that Geneva Convention, the Federal Reserve note. So what do we do about that? Well, we need to use the money. So there's no issue about taking the money out other than the fact if we went into indirect trade like the American tribes did in ancient times, we're not going to do that anytime soon. It's a good idea because it's all indirect trade. It's actually the highest economic cycle that the ancient Lemurians were doing in the last golden age. And that's how it has esoteric thought from the East. And as you know, I talk about separating church and state, and I call it spirituality and state, or politics and spirituality. And I call it disestablishmentarianism, which is, I didn't coin that word. Establishmentarianism would be combining church and state. Disestablishmentarianism is to separate the two. And then you have anti-disestablishmentarianism, which was a fancy term for establishmentarianism. Now they put a prefix on establishmentarianism with disestablishmentarianism, and they put anti in front of that, and then establish a big word, and they think it's really cool and all that. But nobody, let me put it this way, very few people understand what it means. So I attempt to give clarity to that. If it sounds complex, just repeat these archives, because I recommend it. They're only 30 minutes long, and I think there's a lot of truth that's very important that's extrapolated in them, so everyone can get some pretty good information. So I do explain the fact that we really need to separate politics and spirituality. Just like in India, now they're clamoring to get back under English rule because they combined, they did establishmentarianism, and it was a huge failure. They tried to put karma and reincarnation in their politics, and it just doesn't work. It's already complex enough without doing that. So I separate those two, and we have a Saturday show also at 6:30, and we've been having technical difficulties in the last 2 or 3 weeks, so we'll be back on, but we've just been having some problems, so we do apologize for that. But there are about 400 shows in the archive, so anyone can avail themselves of both of the shows, the political and spiritual shows that we do. So we have a lot of archives, so please review those shows, because there's a lot of really good information on those shows. All right, having said all that, we also talk about sovereignty as one of the planks in my political forum. Is we have health, sovereignty. Okay, the show is only 15 minutes this week because of Christmas, so I want to thank the audience for listening in this week, and I really appreciate you being here, and it's a short session, and I do apologize for that. At the same time, we want to say a Merry Christmas to everybody, and a Happy New Year to the audience. And like I said, avail yourself of the studio audience. I mean, the archives, I talk about the archives. Yes, avail yourself of the studio audience and do some Q&A amongst yourselves, right? Very good. All right, so I'm Grantham Taylor Hughes for my show. Have a great week, and goodbye for now.